Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, the captain of this ship, here on this September 6th, 2018, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, do we have a load of sports talk to get to on today's show. You finally made it, folks. Tonight is the night. The very first game of the NFL season gets underway. The NFL season officially getting underway tonight, as the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles will play host to Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. We'll preview that game. We'll talk about the start of the NFL year. And there was one big name that really tore it up here at Michigan State University back in the backfield, right, back in the day. Le'Veon Bell is making headlines. Famed quarterback, well, excuse me, running back now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bell is dominating headlines in the National Football League right now because Bell and the Steelers have yet to agree on a long-term deal. We all know that, right? No shock there. But what is shocking is that Bell, again, was supposed to get the franchise tag. Bell has yet to sign that franchise tag tender. He's held out one training camp. There were some players that thought that he would at least show up to camp yesterday. That has not happened. His agent has talked to the national media about the situation, and it looks like Bell, we may not see Le'Veon Bell until about week 10 of the NFL season. Pretty mind-blowing for arguably the best running back in the game, right? So I'm going to give my thoughts on whether or not the Steelers botched this whole thing in not giving Le'Veon Bell the money that he thought he deserved. Also, I'll kind of put in perspective, you know, Le'Veon Bell's teammates of the Steelers kind of sounding off now. You know, at first they were behind Bell saying, hey, man, we get it. Get your money. You know, if you feel like you deserve more moolah than what the organization is currently offering you, go ahead. We understand. We'll see you when you get back. But now, I mean, the week is here. Tonight, the NFL season begins, and Le'Veon Bell has not shown up to training camp. And now his teammates are a bit frustrated with the whole situation. So we'll talk about Le'Veon Bell holding out. We also will dive into the Michigan State and Arizona State Saturday night game. Again, that's going to be a late start time for you Spartan fans out there here in the Midwest, right? A 10:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night as the Spartans will take on Herm Edwards and the Sun Devils. We'll preview that matchup, and we'll also invite to the show, and I just got confirmation from Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. Rico will help us preview that matchup and kind of put in perspective just his thoughts on what happened on Friday night. Not a very convincing dub for the Spartans to open the year against Utah State under the lights on Friday evening. All right. And then on the back end of the show, it is Thursday. We will have Throwback Thursday for you, as we always do, where we take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. And we will, again, take a broader look of the NFL picture in week one. And we'll give you what we are looking forward to the most
to start the NFL year. And I want to hear from all of you out there, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Those actually watching on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News may notice a change of scenery today. That's because we're actually throwing it back a bit, where WKAR's Sports Talk with Earl Robinson used to broadcast from the WKAR AM studio, as we had a have a prior engagement scheduled out in Studio S. So kind of a throwback show for all of those watching right now on our Facebook page. Again, check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video. I'll do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. Right, and we start with some great news coming out of local mid-Michigan high school football. The Detroit Lions have named Jeremy Miller of the Pomona Westphalia High School Pirates the Week 2 recipient of the 2018 Farm Bureau Insurance Michigan High School Football Coach of the Week. How about that? Miller's Pirates defeated the Saranac Redskins 42-14 in a Central Michigan Athletic Conference battle. Pomona Westphalia is currently ranked number one in Division 7. Again, back-to-back state champions. They opened up Week 1 with a win over the highly touted, always competitive Ithaca Yellow Jackets out at Alma College. And again, 2-0, Jeremy Miller, congratulations. Again, named the Detroit Lions Coach of the Week. He'll be honored at halftime of a said Lions game. And also, the program gets a little moolah for that honor for Jeremy. Very cool stuff. All right, fan interest in the University of Michigan men's basketball program has reached peak levels with the highest demand for season tickets in 18 years. Now, entering the week, 10,775 season tickets have been sold. That's the most since the 2000-01 year. Now, this figure represents 85% of Chrysler Center's capacity of 12,707. Michigan student sales are up over 50%. Members of the Maize Rage have claimed 3,086 season tickets this year, 1,031 more than last year's tally of 2,000, and 77% more than two seasons ago, which was around 1,700 back in 2016-17. Quite amazing. And I always say, you know, like the old saying in Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. And John Beilein has certainly built one of the best college basketball programs in the nation, going to, again, a national championship, falling a bit short at the Big Dance, but still going to the national championship. That does a lot for your program, all right? So there you have that. Pretty amazing numbers there. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team returns home for two games at DeMartin Stadium this week, with a game against Oakland today, followed by a showdown with Colorado on Sunday. The Spartans will kick off at 7 p.m. tonight against the Golden Grizzlies, and 12 p.m. on Sunday when they take on the Buffaloes. So there you have that. Also, the Detroit Lions have claimed defensive end Romeo Okorara off of waivers from the New York Giants, and they cut defensive end Anthony Zettel. Yeah, we've been kind of profiling and diving into discussion about how the Lions just have absolutely gotten no push off of that defensive line. Quarterbacks just reading the newspaper, sipping some coffee, doing taxes in the pocket while able to just pick apart that Lions secondary due to how much time opposing quarterbacks have been getting against the Honolulu Blue for a while now, all right? So Matt Patricia realizes that and has made this move. Now, Detroit made moves after practice yesterday, a day after the Giants had released Okawara. Now, Okawara had 3 tackles in 6 games last season in NYC after making 21 tackles and 1 sack 2 years ago. Now, the 6'4", 270-pound former Notre Dame standout earned a spot on the Giants as a rookie 2 years ago in 2016, starting 4 of 16 games. Detroit drafted Anthony Zettel in the 6th round out of Penn State 2 years ago. He started in every game last season and had 6.5 sacks on the year. And again, this conversation will lead our show. Le'Veon Bell, the Le'Veon Bell holdout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bell's holdout will officially impact the regular season as the Steelers star is not expected to be available for the team's week 1 game against the Cleveland Browns. Again, that's according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. This is also reportedly a possibility that he could miss more games. Quote, he's going to do the things necessary to protect his value long term. Again, that's a quote coming from his agent, Adisa Bakari. He spoke on NFL Live. You'll hear more from Bakari in just a moment. Now, Bell has been holding out since training camp after Pittsburgh placed a franchise tag on him for the 2nd year in a row. Now, he was scheduled to make $14.5 million this year, but had refused to sign his franchise tender as he hoped to earn a long-term deal. What do you think on Le'Veon Bell's holdout? Is it justified? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And as I mentioned, the 2018 NFL season will officially get underway tonight out in Philly as the Philadelphia Eagles begin their Super Bowl defense by hosting the Atlanta Falcons. 8:20 p.m. is the official kickoff time. Super Bowl hero Nick Foles, former MSU quarterback, gets the start for the Eagles in place of injured Carson Wentz, while the Falcons offense, which underachieved last year, is poised to meet high expectations and get Atlanta back to the Super Bowl. The Eagles were favored by 4 when the line opened, but the spread has since dropped to 1.5 with word that Wentz won't start and wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey is week to week with a shoulder injury. The over-under, or total number of points Vegas thinks will be scored, is around 44.5, down 2 from where it opened. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Ronnie Rodriguez had a 2-run homer, and Jaimier Candelario, Mikey Matuk, and Jacoby Jones each added a solo shot, powering the Tigers to a 10-2 rout of the Chicago White Sox and prize pitching prospect Michael Kopech last night. Now, the game was delayed twice by rain for a total of 1 hour and 1 minute. Nicholas Castellanos went 3-for-4 with a walk and an RBI, and Victor Martinez had a 2-run single as the Tigers pounded out 16 hits and won for the 8th time in 9 games at Guaranteed Rate Field. With the win, the Tigers are now 57-83 on the year. And this is probably the news of the day when it comes to local Detroit sports. Yeah, this might have made the Tigers game worth watching, to be honest with you. Get this, play-by-play man Mario Mpemba, MSU alum. Of course, Mario is paired up with the great Rod Allen of Fox Sports Detroit. Mario and Rod were both absent from the Tigers broadcast booth last night after getting into a physical altercation following Tuesday's game. That's according to The Athletic, and other, again, media outlets have also been reporting on this. Now, the reason for this altercation remain unclear, but there reportedly had been tension building between the two men who had been calling Tigers games since 2002. A person familiar with the dynamics of the broadcast production told The Athletic, quote, they are like an odd couple. So again, Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen getting into a physical altercation. So for the game yesterday, Matt Shepard and Kirk Gibson actually filled in Wild, wild story. I'm curious to see if there are any more details that will be released when it comes to exactly what happened between Mario and Rod. All right, folks, a lot to get to. Again, we will be talking with Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com as we will preview. He'll help us preview Michigan State and Arizona State Saturday night. But we'll, again, we begin our conversation with Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon's holdout, not signing the franchise tag just yet, and holding out, not showing up to preseason training camp, where we're now, you know, at week one of the NFL season. Rumors that the holdout could last the majority of the season, the regular season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, may not show up till week 10. What do you think of this? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Situation right now where if you juxtapose the concerns of the Steelers, and let's be clear, the concerns of the Steelers in 2018 are the same concerns they had in 2017, the same concerns they had in 1979, and that's winning football games, right? Le'Veon also has a business concern, that's the balance of his career. Now, and how it should happen is that each of those concerns, right, should serve as the impetus for the two sides to find a middle ground and get a long-term deal. That did not happen in this context. We know right now his days in Pittsburgh are precarious at best. We also know how he's been utilized in the past by the Steelers organization. So there's nothing to say negative about the Steelers. They have one of the best players who have ever played this position, and they rely on him heavily for the production that he can provide. But in doing so, you take away from his future years. Now, look, every player, because of what I said at the outset about programming to be team focused and to focus first on the collective, every player is built that way, right? And so it's only when that player gets to take care of his personal concerns that he can then revert to the collective, right? And to join and to be focused on wins, wins for the team, wins for the group, right? But when we find ourselves in a situation like this, right, where the player is forced now to think less of the group and to think more about his individual long-term success, you know, again, we find ourselves where we are. So, as those future goals, I think it should remain bright.
Again, that was the agent of Le'Veon Bell, Adisa Bakari, speaking to NFL Live on the situation of his client, Le'Veon Bell, deciding to hold out, not playing week one against the Cleveland Browns due to his situation with the Steelers. When it comes to his contract, not signing a long-term deal. He wanted to get that done in the offseason. Did not show up to preseason training camp. And there's a possibility, you know, there's a possibility that we may not see Le'Veon Bell until like week 10, right? Pretty insane. Now, with that being said, to kind of lay out the framework of this story, to give you the whole picture before I give you my thoughts, few of Le'Veon Bell's teammates have now gone on record, and they are not happy with what has happened. Le'Veon Bell, again, Right now, it looks like he's not going to suit up for week one against the Browns. Who knows when he's going to come back? His teammates aren't happy about this. Here's a direct quote and quotes from first Ramon Foster, who said, quote, "He is making seven times what I make, and we are the guys that do it for him." Pretty honest, right? David DeCastro, quote, "Just sit out the whole year then." Tell us how you really feel, fellas, right? And then you have Maurice Pouncey. Now, Maurice Pouncey spoke to reporters prior to Wednesday and said that Le'Veon's going to show up Wednesday. He will be back with us come Wednesday. Le'Veon Bell didn't show up yesterday. So Pouncey spoke to reporters and said, "Hey, I thought that was going to happen. I'm a bit shocked right now. Life goes on." And, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, he spoke with the media as well and discussed the holdout of Le'Veon Bell and said that, hey, one man doesn't make a team. You know, it's a next man up mentality. We've got a great offensive line. We're going to work with what we got. The show must go on. And Mike Tomlin has taken, head coach of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, he has taken the same tone as well. So the question I have for all of you out there listening, whether you're listening on the radio right now, courtesy of WKAR AM 870 or 105.1 FM, and excuse the technical difficulties, but thanks to Drew Henderson, we have the live stream up and kicking at facebook.com/WKAR News. Had some audio problems, but it's all good in the hood now. So if you want to check out the show on our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also weigh in on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. That's my official Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. So multiple ways in which you can weigh in. I want to get your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell holding out. Is it fair to his team? Are you in Le'Veon Bell's corner and saying, hey, get your money, brother? Because the league doesn't care anything about its players. They're all about how much money they make on a regular basis, especially when it comes to upper execs. I want to know where you fall in this conversation. Now, I want to give you my thoughts right now, because it's fascinating on so many levels. I don't think we've ever seen a player of Le'Veon Bell's caliber, you know, the star running back that he is. And he's a game changer. He is definitely a unicorn in the league. You look at Le'Veon Bell's running style and how he's so patient. He literally stops once he grabs the pigskin and just kind of evaluates where the holes are, and then he just hits it really, really hard. He's a great combination of size and strength mixed with great quickness. You know, he's a dynamic back. Dynamic. And you can plug and play him multiple areas on that offense in multiple plays of that Pittsburgh Steelers offense, which they have utilized Bell in. You know, he's been a great receiver for this team. Actually, the second leading receiver behind the great Madden cover that he is in Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell is a special player. No doubt about that. But it's all about market value when discussing the NFL in particular. You know, basketball is so different. The NBA is so different because you can impact the game on both ends of the floor, defense and offense. I mean, you can be a game changer on just about every play if you're that good, right? Hoops is different. Also, it's not as physical as football. So the shelf life of an NBA player is much longer than that of an NFL player, let alone a running back in the league. The Pittsburgh Steelers tried, because I don't think we're having this conversation enough. When I hear people dive into what is happening out in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell, not many people are bringing up the fact that the Steelers did offer Le'Veon Bell something here. You know, just rewind the clock back to mid-July when it was made public that the Steelers did offer Le'Veon some change. Le'Veon just wasn't happy with it. The Pittsburgh Steelers offered Le'Veon an average of $12 million per year with $30 million coming in the first 2 years. $42 million over three. Le'Veon said, nope, I'm worth more than that. I am going to play on the $12.1 million franchise tag. Again, $12 million per. $30 million in the first 2 years. $42 million over three. Le'Veon Bell wasn't happy with that. He was not happy with the lack of guaranteed money. So Bell decided to bet on himself. All right, the deal being reportedly worth 5 years. I looked at that contract and said, okay, this is Le'Veon Bell. Dynamic player, don't get me wrong. Great player. When he is on the field and healthy, he's a game changer. But let's not forget here that Le'Veon Bell is 26 years old. He'll be 27 on February 18th. The shelf life of a running back, the average shelf life of a running back is like 2, maybe 3 years. And running backs right now, you don't have to have a dynamic, game-changing running back to be successful in today's National Football League. So the value of a running back here in 2018 in this pass-happy league that we are in is not that great in comparison to that of, what, a quarterback? Heck, even a wide receiver. So when I look at when I saw that initial offer, when I was released in mid-July, I said, Le'Veon, what are you doing? Take that money. Take that money. Le'Veon said, no, I'm worth more than that. So when it comes to Le'Veon's teammates, who, again, I say this, initially had his back. When Le'Veon didn't show up to camp, you know, you had many teammates of Le'Veon saying, look, we understand you are one of the best players on this roster. Go out and get, you know, what you feel like you're worth. But as the days and the weeks went by and Le'Veon isn't showing up to the building, he's not practicing with the team, that frustration started to grow some more. And then it hit a point where it's like, all right, Le'Veon, we're in week one of the NFL year now. Where are you? We need you. Again, Pouncey thought he was going to show up on Wednesday. That didn't happen. Then you had the quotes from Ramon Foster. He's making 7 times what I make. And we are the guys that do it for him. We open the holes for you, Le'Veon. David DeCastro. Man, just sit out the whole year then. Those are very to the point. Very honest. So now, whenever Le'Veon does come back, I mean, you talk about team chemistry. Man, I would love to be a fly on the wall whenever Le'Veon comes back. Teammates aren't happy because now it looks like, okay, you're putting yourself over the team. And I want to make this point as well. Le'Veon Bell is such a dynamic player that he helps the salaries of those who block for him. Le'Veon Bell makes them look good and probably covers up some deficiencies. Not probably, he does cover up some deficiencies. He is that kind of a player. So if he isn't showing up, you know, these players in Foster and DeCastro and Pouncey are saying to themselves, man, you're affecting my money now. You are affecting what I get paid because when you are out there, you help all of us, Le'Veon, and now you decide not to show up. Le'Veon, you're forcing it. You're a running back. That's the position that you play. That's the position that you chose. You have to look at the market and say, all right, I may have to adjust my expectations now. Because the market, and again, I see Jack behind the glass. Jack, I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in here. Jack Kerwin, engineer of Current Sports on this this Thursday afternoon. Jack, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to give you the form in just a moment. But the market is going to dictate what you get paid. And again, you are a running back. Now, again, you look at, you know, what the L.A. Rams did. And that whole situation with with Mr. Todd Gurley. I mean, that was a record NFL contract, which is out of the norm. That is an anomaly. Reportedly, now it's set in stone. At the time, reportedly a 4-year, $60 million deal, $45 million in guarantees. Signing bonus of $20 million. That's a deal that, you know, you look at and you say, all right, that has a potential, depending on what happens from here on out with Gurley's career, that has the potential to maybe elevate the way in which running backs are paid in the National Football League. We'll see. Only time will tell there. It's a move that Le'Veon Bell, in a contract that I'm sure Le'Veon Bell wished he would have gotten with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you're a running back. Again, that's the exception when it comes to Todd Gurley. The average salary of the top five running backs for 2018, reflected in the franchise number, $14.5 million. This contrasts with the average for the top five quarterbacks of $23.1 million. And offensive linemen, traditionally, you know, a low-paid position, like they've seen the largest increase, as the top five average sits at $14 million. At the end of the day, I think that the contract that the Steelers offered was a solid one, and one that Le'Veon Bell should have taken. This is a brother that's going to be 27 years old. He's got a lot of miles on those wheels, dating back to his time at Michigan State, where he played all 4 years. Can't forget that either. How many good years does Le'Veon Bell have left? That's the big question I have here. And heck, knowing that, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I may just sit out the whole year. And I know that contractual stipulations say that, okay, you got to come back in week 10 and sign that franchise tender so that after this season you can be eligible for free agency come 2019. Get all that. But my goodness. And then, you know what? Now, Le'Veon, you've created a dialogue around the National Football League that you're selfish. Whatever team you go to, they're going to look at the situation and remember these quotes from your former teammates and have these preconceived notions about you that you're selfish. And it's hard for me not to look at this and say that Le'Veon Bell is being a bit selfish here. Sign the contract, get out there. And Le'Veon Bell probably won't play another meaningful season in the NFL if he does hold out till week 10 until he's 27 years old. I can't keep thinking about that. Those are my thoughts. Those are my opinions. You can agree or disagree. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Seeing some comments on here. Chris says, Le'Veon actually played 3 years at State, 2010, 2011. 20. So he was just, he'd leave after his junior season? Jack, am I wrong on that?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's double check on that. Chris, I can't remember. It was so long ago now. I want to say he played all 4 years, though. Could be wrong, though. Ben says, pay the man what he is truly worth. And even Chris, even if it is 3 years, that's still a lot of years in college. That's still some trade on the track, brother. Ben says, pay the man what he is truly worth. He did play 3 years. Thank you for that correction, Chris. Still a lot of miles on the track, if you ask me. And he is a – how does a running back fit? I can't – okay, Jack, I'm going to give you the form before we hit our first break here. You can't force the market. That is what Le'Veon Bell is trying to do here. I can't, for me, here at WKAR, I can't go to my boss right now and say, look, I think I'm worth – even if I feel like I am, I think I'm worth ESPN money. I think I'm worth ESPN money. Pay me what I feel I am worth. Sorry, Al. You're in Lansing, Michigan. You're in market 114. We're not paying you that amount of money. Are you crazy? You may be dynamic. You bring a lot to the table here at WKAR. We love what you do. You may feel like you're worth that money, but sorry, dude. You're in market 114. That is not what the market dictates. You cannot force the market in whatever job that you have. Le'Veon Bell is trying to do that here, and I think it's the wrong move. It's the wrong move from a PR standpoint. I think his agent is giving him the wrong advice. And also, let's not forget, too, Le'Veon Bell said he went out in the public and said, his agent said that he would be back before the season begins. And then you go back on your word and you're not showing up there for your teammates. It's selfish. At the end of the day, if you feel like you're worth more, sign the franchise tag, get out there and play. Then when you hit the free agent market in 2019, chuck up the deuces to the Steelers and go somewhere else. I don't understand why he's not there in week one. We already know the opportunity for you to sign a long-term contract is passed now. That deadline is dead and gone. We know you're going to franchise tag this year, so why not be there for your team at week one of the NFL season? I don't know. All right, let me get off my soapbox. We're going to dial up, again, Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. We're going to dive into some Michigan State football. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Jack, we'll get your thoughts on the other end. I know you're taking a call right now. Tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my official Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. When we come back again, Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com will talk Spartans and Sun Devils on the other side. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just began the hour discussing Le'Veon Bell and the holdout. He has not showed up to Pittsburgh Steelers training camp. He is deciding to hold out. We probably won't see him week one. And also, you know who really hurts in this whole situation when it comes to Le'Veon Bell holding out? You know who really takes the blunt of the blow? My fantasy football team. Maybe that's why I'm a bit angry today. Thank you, Le'Veon Bell. All day, every day is going to start off a bit rocky, I think, because you are not in my starting lineup anymore. So I had to hit the waiver wire today and picked up I don't even know who the dude's name was. Just some bottom tier running back that I'll be starting in week one. So there you have that. Maybe that's like the foundation of my anger today. Foundation of my angst. What do you think of Le'Veon Bell holding out, though? 517-355 WKAR 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now before we get to our guest, Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. We've got Ray from Indiana that wants to talk. Ray, what's up, man?
Don't be surprised if the Browns don't beat the Steelers this week.
You think the Browns will beat the Steelers?
I think they might. Without Bell out there running the ball, they don't realize. But, I want to get on to Jimmy, okay?
Oh, you want to?
Hey,
okay,
Jimmy. I'm going to talk about Jimmy.
All right,
Jimmy, you made your $10 million, and you got all the alumni taking you on all these vacations overseas. But you know, when it comes on Saturday, you're not any better than Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, and you know, you look at Jim Harbaugh. You know, his annual pay at $7.5 million, Ray. He has a Michigan road losing streak, the program does, against AP top 25 teams that stretches back to 06, 17 straight losses on the road to AP top 25 teams.
What was the year they fired me, huh, buddy?
Yeah, right. Well, and then, of course, you look at Jim Harbaugh's record against his rivals.
When did they fire me, 2006?
Who's that? Fire who?
I was down at Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't won a road game since they got rid of me at Notre Dame in 2006 when I was down there.
Right. And, you know, Michigan hired Jim Harbaugh in 2015.
People back for their rudeness. And John Beilein, I know you're out of the hospital. I'm glad you got well. But let me tell you something, buddy. I knew what you pulled when you went after that Pistons job. You were just building them up like Jimmy to get the big contract.
My man Ray from Indiana.
You're another hypocrite.
All right.
Another hypocrite.
Ray from Indiana. He's one of a kind. All right, Ray, thank you. Thank you for expressing your disdain of Michigan, as he does every single show. Jack, you heard my rant about Le'Veon Bell. I know you don't agree with it. That's what makes the world go round, right? Opinions. What are your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell's holdout? Is it the right move? And why do you back up Le'Veon?
Al, I love you, man. You know I love you, but I can't disagree with you more on this one. I think the one thing you got to keep in mind with the contract that the Steelers offered Le'Veon back in July, I think it was July or August, was when Todd Gurley signed his deal for $60 million, $45 million was guaranteed. The only part of Le'Veon's contract that would have been guaranteed was his $10 million signing bonus. So to me, I don't think it is that Le'Veon needs a bigger contract per se in terms of annual value. I just don't think a $10 million signing bonus for arguably the best running back in the NFL is justified, in my opinion. And for that reason, I don't really blame Le'Veon for sitting out right now. You know, kind of like what you said, you know, running backs especially, they only have a couple years, and it's a very dangerous sport, and I cannot fault Le'Veon Bell for holding out for more money guaranteed.
How many good years do you think Le'Veon has left, Jack?
Well,
he's a running back.
He's 26 right now.
He'll be 27 by the time the NFL year is done this upcoming season.
Being optimistic is probably three.
Being very optimistic. I think maybe two. I'll give him two. 2 years. Because of how they use Le'Veon Bell. Again, he was the second leading. When he's healthy, he's the second leading receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers team. So we'll see what happens. Again, thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Jack, real briefly, before we get to Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com, I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State and Arizona State. What kind of game do you think this will be?
Well, in a lot of ways, it'll probably be similar to Notre Dame-Michigan, except probably even worse in terms of cramping. And, you know, MSU, they're going to have to – same with Arizona State. I mean, the forecast is at kickoff. It's supposed to be like almost 100 degrees I saw the other day. So it's going to be really important from a health standpoint for both teams that guys are hydrated and keeping cool. And for that reason, it'll be almost similar to when you see two teams play in the rain, and that you may not get either team's best game in this matchup just because of the elements. So I think in a lot of ways this will play to MSU's strengths, because unlike the rain, they'll be able to air it out. You know, obviously with Felton Davis and Cody White, you saw the kind of impact they made week one. So I think that'll certainly be a plus for MSU, and that, you know, unlike other bad weather games where it's rainy or snowy, they won't be able to throw the ball as much. You know, you'll see that from MSU, but Arizona State looked really good against Texas San Antonio, man. And I mean, you don't know
it's
how great
it's Texas San Antonio, but I hear what you're saying.
Utah State is Utah State, right?
Right. That's true. That is very, very true. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And, you know, you look at this game, and it's interesting on a lot of different fronts, because Michigan State and Arizona State, they haven't played each other in a long, long time. I believe like 1986, I think, is the number, you know. And then you have Herm Edwards, the new coach of the Sun Devils. You know, he's stepping into a role, college coaching, that he hasn't stepped into since 1990. And he has not coached, period, the game of football since 2008, when he was, of course, the head man in charge for the Kansas City Chiefs. So how do you prepare for a coach that has not coached in 8 years, has not coached college dating back to the year I was born in 1990. Mark D'Antonio, he did address that earlier this year and noted that, look, man, we're trying to go back in the archives here. And, you know, I also know that their defensive coordinator, I believe his name is Danny Gonzalez, he was the defensive coordinator for San Diego State last year. So Mark D'Antonio and his staff have been looking at some film from San Diego State as well. But it's tough to prepare. And again, when you play UTSA in your first game and you completely blow them out the water, I don't know how much you can draw and prep from in looking at that game. Mark D'Antonio also said that, heck, they've even been looking at Arizona State's spring game as preparation for this. So I want to right now go to our phone lines and bring in our guest for today's Current Sports. He is a dear friend of the show, hasn't been on in quite some time, Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. Rico, happy Thursday, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, man? You know what? We haven't really, like, had a good conversation since the last time
I saw you that posted picture where you were standing on top of a rock with your shirt off.
See, why do I've been getting so much flack about that picture since I posted it, because that's actually in Arizona, Rico, because my brother lives out there, and I was out there visiting him, and we hiked Camelback Mountain. I mean, it took us like 2.5 hours. And you know what? Anytime you accomplish something like that, Rico, where it takes you 2 hours to climb a mountain, you better believe I'm trying to stunt a little bit and take a pic. Like, hey, I made it. All right. So.
There was no doubt you were stunting a little bit. There was no doubt.
Without a doubt, Rico. Well, speaking of Arizona, let's talk about this Michigan State and Arizona State game. But first, I want to get your thoughts on what happened last week. Friday night, game one for the Spartans under the lights at Spartan Stadium. Some Spartan fans are worried, while some are saying, look, Mark D'Antonio never blows out opponents when he's highly favored by 20-plus points. This is just what he does. Should Spartan fans be worried after just a 7-point win against Utah State last week?
I wouldn't be, and I totally agree with the whole idea of it's just not his style. It's not his style to run up the score on a team. You know, even if it's a team that he's got a chance to run out of the building, that's just not the way he plays the game, and it's not his approach. And my whole deal is, like, I even tried to tell some of my Michigan supporters, listen, it's the first game. If you looked around the country, you know, unless it was like in Ohio State or in Alabama playing a inferior team, you're not going to get blowouts, and a lot of teams are going to look bad in their first game. Like, you know all the people at Texas were losing their minds because the Longhorns lost to Maryland. But again, go from game one to game two. Now, listen, game two, if these teams that had close wins or had a comeback win, you know, Penn State and Appalachian State, if you see the same kind of performance and play, then okay, now you start worrying. But first game, you know, a lot of new stuff going on, new players, whole new approach. I'm not worried. I don't get worried until after I see a couple games.
And again, Rico, this is also a point as well. I mean, Mark D'Antonio, with him playing Arizona State in week two, again, he doesn't want to show everything that he has in his hand, right, against Utah State.
No, he definitely wouldn't. I mean, you know, this is a let's get our feet wet. You know, let's get guys in, let's get them comfortable, let's get a rhythm going. And now, you know, now I think is when you start pushing and say, okay, we have to do this. We must do this in order to be successful, because, as you know, this team came into the 2018 season with a lot of expectations on his head.
Yeah, that's very true, Rico. Okay, if you had to nitpick, looking back at that game on Friday night, if there is anything that concerns you remotely, what is that? What must the Spartans improve on as the year moves along?
Well, I know it's like everybody said, but I'm going to go O-line.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's where I was going as well.
I'm going to go O-line, and again, it's tough to say, because, like I said, it's the first game, and you know, Coach D talked about communication, and I had a chance to talk to Tyler Higbee on Tuesday during player interviews, and he said it was little things, you know, little things like footwork and communication, things that they can easily correct. So I think we will get to see during this game on Saturday night in the desert if they are making strides towards making those improvements and getting that line to where it needs to be for – obviously, what you know is can be a long and grueling Big Ten season.
That's very true. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. Rico is helping us put in perspective what happened on Friday night as the Spartans topped Utah State under the lights at Spartan Stadium 38-31, and now look forward to a 10:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff against Herm Edwards and the Arizona State University Sun Devils. Rico, how do you prep for a Sun Devils team led by a coach that has not coached college since 1990 and hasn't coached a football game other than week one against UTSA, but hasn't coached a football game since 2008 with the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs? How do you prepare for that?
Well, I think you do what, you know, most coaches do. You obviously get as much film as possible, so you can get spring game film. You get, obviously, film from from their game against Texas San Antonio. But I also think that you have to do what you do. I mean, and then make adjustments as you see fit. I don't think you can go out with some kind of weird plan or you know, something off the books. You have to go out and do what you do, see how that works. And then, you know, as most people say, your biggest adjustment for a game is what happens when you come out of the locker room at halftime. So I think that's really all you can do, and hope that your players are able to make that adjustment.
How impressed were you, Rico, with what you saw from the wide receiver core? Felton Davis III looked amazing, and you know the incredibly clutch catch that he made, coming from, of course, the fingertips of Brian Lewerke, where you know he dove on the left sideline, just amazing. Cody White, pretty consistent in that game as well. How good do you think this wide receiving core can be?
Well, it's right now, I think even coming into the season, it's one of the top five in the country.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any argument about that. And you know, when you have a veteran quarterback like a Brian Lewerke coming back, that just makes that trio all the more dangerous. But I think they're right up there with, you know, Ohio State's been said to have a nice trio. So is Alabama and Georgia. I think this group can be right up there with, you know, the top two, three receiving cores in the country.
And again, I don't want to forget about Darryl Stewart Jr. as well, who actually led the team in receptions with 7 catches for 55 yards in that game as well. And also, Rico, I'm sure you've heard this chatter as well. When it comes to the running backs, LJ Scott, not really impressive. And I think a lot of that also has to do with what you just brought up to your area of concern with that offensive line. LJ Scott, 23 carries, 84 yards, an average of 3.7 yards per carry. His longest run was 14 yards, but a lot of people liked the spark that Connor Hayward was coming into the game. You know, having, you know, the longest touch that he had was 17 yards, but you know, he showed off his quickness, his elusiveness. What do you make of this whole LJ Scott and Connor Hayward situation? And again, I'm sticking with my guns at least. I think LJ is still the guy, and I think some Spartan fans are totally overreacting and saying that Connor Hayward is working his way into that number one position.
Right. Well, first of all, again, first game. Okay, let's throw that out there again.
Right.
And secondly, offensive line. You know, let's see how they progress. Thirdly, let's look at the plays that Hayward got, plays that were designed for him to, you know, get outside. You know, I'd like to see the young man run between the tackles, you know, for first, second, and third down, and then we can make more of a judgment. And then lastly, let's talk about play calling and you know, what LJ's designed to do and what Connor Hayward's designed to do. So, like I said, again, let's just hold off. Let's hold off a little bit. Let's wait for things to develop. And then, you know, after 3, 4, 5 games in, then you can say this team is this or this team is not this.
Totally agree. All right, Rico, as we come up against it here near the end of the show with about 5 minutes left, I want to give you the forum now to kind of give us your thoughts and predictions on what is going to go down come Saturday night between the Spartans and the Sun Devils.
Well, first of all, let's talk about hydration. When you're playing in desert heat, you know, you know the saying that it's a dry heat. Well, heat is heat, okay, if it's hot. So Everybody's got to stay hydrated. That's the biggest thing, especially for Michigan State going out into that environment. And I think substitutions will be a huge deal during this game also. The other thing, too, is, you know, obviously I think Lewerke's got to take another step up. You know, no pick sixes in this game. And the O-line needs to take care of business. But the thing I'm looking for is how Michigan State handles that quick 3-3-5 defensive alignment that Arizona State runs. You see it on film, it looks fun to play, and it looks like, you know, it could cause some problems. But that's going to be, I think, the key to the game is how Michigan State handles that lighter but quicker 3-3-5 set that Arizona State plays.
Okay. And just a big picture look of the Big Ten Conference after week one, Rico. What were some of your takeaways? And also, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what happened in that Michigan and Notre Dame game on Saturday night.
Well, disappointed with the Michigan-Notre Dame game, but not overly surprised. I mean, you know how the hype goes with Michigan. Great hype machine, but, you know, everybody keeps saying, yeah, you know, you're going to Europe, but you can't find Indianapolis. So I think that, you know, all jokes aside, that less hype and more production. I mean, and again, Shea Patterson, first game, I'm not ready to, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's let the kid have a few games.
Yeah.
Let's see how things go. You know, Michigan's offensive line didn't look great either. So, again, let's see how that develops. Defense looks good. But like I said, with Michigan, if that defense is forced to play and win games for that team, then Michigan's going to have a bad year, because those guys, as talented as they are going to get tired. That offense needs to come through for Michigan to have a successful season.
Rico Cooney of SpartanMag.com. Awesome job, Rico. Two questions. Will you be heading out to AZ? And also,
we'll not be.
Okay, we'll not be. And second question, how can our listeners out there read your work, my man?
Well, just drop on SpartanMag.com and take a look through. Right now, you'll see me doing football things. So you can scan up and down the page on SpartanMag.com and check me out.
Rico, always a pleasure talking with you. I'll see you soon, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
I thanks for having me, and I'm just glad that the weather's going to cool down and you won't be walking around with your shirt off all the time.
Right. I'm a chick magnet if that happens, Rico. So,
Hey. Yeah, doing your version of Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly. All right. All right, yeah. Rico. Rico Cooney, the great Rico Cooney. Rico, thank you so much, brother. All right. As we come up against it now, just a minute left. I'll save your thoughts, Jack, for tomorrow's show. We'll get the thoughts of Jack Kerwin as Michigan State again prepares for Arizona State. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow in our usual Studio S. Thank you to our viewers and listeners at Facebook.com/WKAR News for bearing with us throughout the live stream as we had some technical difficulties, but we figured it out. All right. We'll see you same time, same place on the Friday version of Current Sports. I'm Al Martin, reminding you to always be easy, people.